Good evening, everyone. At the last board meeting, I was asked to come and present tonight the final motion for the use of ARRA funds, as is on the agenda. Tonight, we're looking for a motion to approve the purchase of special education math supplies, language arts supplies, special education technology, specialized furniture for the autism class, all of which resolves in a total of $76,444, which brings us under $20 of spending all of the ARRA funds that we received 2 years ago. I want to start with a recap of the process. In the spring of 2009, I was notified, well, the district was notified, that we were going to be receiving ARRA funds. I met with all of the special education teachers in all four buildings. I met with the parent advisory group, and I asked them all to provide me with input on how they feel we could expand and improve our special education programs in districts with this money that was coming. Between the spring of 2009 and the fall, the teachers and the parents gave input. Teachers gave rationale for what they believed were needed to improve our programs. During the summer, we were notified of the exact amount of money that was coming to us. The business administrator and I attended mandated state training on how to use the funds and how we are to devise a plan. We wrote the plan. Also during the summer, the leadership team met and identified areas of need and opportunities for district-wide initiatives using the monies. In the fall, with taking all the input from parents, staff, and the leadership team, our plan was devised. It was approved by the county, by the State Department of Education, and by the Board of Education. And then it brings us to this past spring, our final amendment. We had a couple of amendments here and there. The final amendment of ARRA was approved by the board, the county, and the State Department of Education. I want to now highlight what we've already spent ARRA on. And as we started discussing at last meeting, our ARRA spending is in line with our district strategic plan. Under the goal to attain optimal level of student achievement through the use of data-driven assessment that shapes instruction, with the objective being purposeful articulation between subject areas, grades, and schools, we purchased the IEP Direct program. The IEP Direct program is a web-based IEP program for the district. All the special education students' IEPs are created using this program, and they're aligned with the New Jersey Special Education Code and the New Jersey Core Curriculum Content Standards. This was all previously done by hand with no data validation. It was IEPs were created in a Word document. All teachers have read-only access to the students' IEPs via PowerSchool. PowerSchool is our district's student database. You might all know it through Parent Portal for grades and attendance. All child study team members, related service providers, and special education teachers have been given the necessary training to implement this program successfully, and support is ongoing. Under the goal, develop a supportive environment that enhances education for all students, with the objective to evaluate the inclusion model and how supports are utilized with regard to the current needs of students, we had inclusion training and everyday math consultation in the district. The inclusion training, the consultants came and they met with individual team teachers, like the inclusion teams, and they tailored recommendations based on the unique needs of that teaching team. The everyday math consultant came, spent time in the inclusion classes during the math instruction, and made recommendations for improvements in regard to modifications for special education students, like how we could use everyday math and modify better for our students. Also under the goal of supportive environment, but with the objective that we are going to identify student needs and provide appropriate programs to maximize student learning, we purchased assistive technology, sound fields, and social skills training. We were able to have a student who required extensive assistive technology to remain in district in the least restrictive environment. We were able to not use general funds. We had the opportunity to have the ARRA funds available to let the student remain in district. This is approximately $7,000 that we spent for one student, leveraged against the potential added district bill of $70,000 per year for 3 years. Sound fields, as we discussed last meeting, all the inclusion rooms at Spruce Run, Patrick McGarren, and Round Valley are all now equipped with the sound fields based on student IEP needs. In addition, they are also supported by research to benefit all students. Dr. Jeb Baker came into the district, and all special education teachers were trained in social skills training. He is an expert in the field, and it attracted, when I mentioned it at district, at county meetings, other schools wanted to send representatives, so I filled the room. Our current motion also falls under the goal to develop a supportive environment that enhances education for all students. Again, the objective, to evaluate the inclusion model and how supports are utilized with regard to the current needs of students. And there are five items on the agenda. Number Worlds, which is a math replacement program, Pearson Math, which is also a replacement math program, the Wilson Reading Program, and Resource Room Speech and Occupational Therapy Technology. Last but not least, specialized furniture for Spruce Run's Autism Room. Number Worlds is a replacement math program for students K through 6 who need additional math support outside the general education curriculum. We have been looking this year at a number of different math programs, and after consulting with the math supervisor at Flemington Raritan, who they also use Everyday Math, and also the Everyday Math consultant, and calling other principals at Flemington Raritan, we decided that Number Worlds would be the best replacement program in alignment with our current Everyday Math curriculum. Pearson Math program, this stems from our middle school teachers have in the past gone through Paul Lawrence training, and this replacement program is aligned more with the 7th and 8th grade math curriculum, and it is also a replacement program for those students who need supports beyond the general education curriculum. The Wilson Reading Program, for next year we have a new class starting here at the middle school, and it's for inclusion students who need the additional support for reading and writing. The Wilson program will help benefit this, like the curriculum of this class, as well as other reading and writing strategies. Then the Resource Room Speech and Occupational Therapy Technology. After we took all the feedback from the staff, I asked the technology department to propose a solution to best meet our stated needs on everyone's recommendations and suggestions. After several drafts, which began with laptops and desktops when this first originated, the final recommendation was for a mix of iPads, projectors, software, and accessories. Resource room teachers had the opportunity to work with demonstration units and provided feedback that was overwhelmingly positive. These student resources are cost-effective, capable, multimodal, and engaging. The accessibility features remove barriers to the curriculum. The user experience on these devices can be tailored to each student's unique needs and goals. And specialized furniture for the autism program. Another thing we did this year was look at our autism program at Spruce Rum and Patrick McGarren. The teachers, the consultants came in, and then we went and looked at their program. And one of the physical changes we could make is to restructure the classroom environment and get better furniture that would better meet the needs of students for more effective instruction. Anyone have any questions? Yes.
I guess it's page 7 where you talk about the Number Worlds. Let's use the Pearson Math program as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How does that get funded? You fund, so our money funds the program, and then it also funds the PD that goes along with it for when you're creating a new program? Like, how does that, it funds the whole?
Well, Number Worlds.
And the professional development?
No, this is only purchasing the program.
Okay. So then how do we fund the professional development that goes along with that? That just comes out of our...
Well, this is a curriculum.
Okay.
So we are going to go through it with the teachers, and they could use their professional learning communities to go over and strategize how they're going to implement it in their classrooms.
Okay.
It's like an additional resource. Currently, like every year, special education teachers are given monies in the budget to purchase supplemental materials to supplement the curriculum. And so this is more than a supplement. It's like a replacement for those students that can't keep up with the everyday math and need a more intense math program, as opposed to just supplementing and modifying the everyday math program.
So how do they like hit the ground running with some of these programs, like when they start, like in the fall, or how does that work? Like, this is just a point of interest, but how do they, maybe Kevin has to chime in on this too, but how do they get up to speed on this program and get implemented? Like, so we buy the program with the ARRA funds, how do they get up to speed on it?
Well, it would depend when we get the program. So timing has everything. if it's approved tonight, we should get it during the summer. We could even call teachers in or just have it during one of the beginning professional development days, have them look through the program, ask questions. If needed, we could have somebody come in and train them.
Okay.
But that would not be part, that funding would not be part of the ARRA funding.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess page 3, the last slide, says support is ongoing. Can you elaborate on that? Give me examples, specifics?
Yes, we have IEP directed part of the program is live support. So anyone of the case managers can call IEP direct if they have a question or they're hitting a glitch in the system, and they'll be talked through it.
And then also on page 8.
And if needed, if they need more training for next year, we will have that as well.
Okay. And then on page 8, you talk about a mix of iPads in the resource room. How many iPads are we looking at in the resource rooms?
Do you have the exact number?
It was 77 now.
77?
That's what I thought.
74 now.
77. Do we, and how many kids are in that resource room?
Anywhere from, some resource room teachers have 26 kids that flow through their classes every day, because the iPads wouldn't leave the classroom.
So we're buying, that's a high number?
We have 2, 3. We have 10 classes.
Okay.
Nine classes, I apologize.
So we're buying more iPads than children?
Than students in some classrooms, yes. And the reason being, we cannot purchase those iPads for the inclusion classes without taking a percentage of money from general education. So we want to have the iPads there for the inclusion teachers, because they also expressed an interest in having the iPads in their classrooms for, like, for example, in the middle school is science labs, math programming. We also have some iPads slotted for the autism classes for the teacher assistants to take data on the students, to have a better data system than we have right now. We have a clipboard with paper, and then it just sits in a folder, and then the binders just increase and increase. We could have it all on a database that just follows the students from school to school. And we are able to, like I said, have the inclusion teachers check them out, like go sign them out from the resource room in the school, work out like a schedule, like how they check out the laptop carts.
And in this way, Mark, we're maximizing the one-time purchase, so that it is not just for the resource room self-contained, but because of the way the funding is, for us to get 100% use of the funding, we had to put it towards programs that have 100% special education need. And that was our resource room and our self-contained. Our inclusion would not be because of the number of general educational students in those classrooms. So instead of chasing after a 20%, a 35%, and so on funding of an iPad, and we would have to pick up the other part, we put it all in those other programs. But we are allowed to check it out to the teachers so that the equipment is used purposely.
The funds could have been used in direct spend for supplement, not supplant. Like if we wanted to buy them for that class, you would have been restricted to the percentage of kids that were classified in the class that you could have spent that fund on.
The amount of funding for the iPad, yes.
Right, if you bought them for the whole class.
For the inclusion class, right. Yes.
Mary, on the funding, we had the supplanted portion, the 144,
mm-hmm.
and that left about 255,000. Do you know how much of the 255 was spent on professional development?
I don't have those numbers in front of me, no.
Do you know that? I can, I just need a few minutes.
It's about 55,000.
Including the supplant or not including?
Not including the supplant.
Okay.
Of the 255,000 that was available for our direct spend from this IDEA grant, we spent about 55,000 on professional development and everything else, the training, the travel, the miscellaneous hardware, all of that combined, and all of the training, and all of the math programs, and all the language arts programs. If you added it all together, it's around 55,000, and it could be higher or low by 5,000. And about 200,000 of that 255 we spent on technology, including this purchase, this 76 grant. Do you think that the $200,000 on technology was the best use of the funds? Is that the
yes,
best way we could have spent the funds?
Yes, because under that umbrella of technology was the sound fields, the IEP Direct program, the training to go along with the IEP Direct program, the new laptops for the child study team members so that they could have the best access to the new web-based program with a faster computer. Because that was actually one of the glitches in the beginning. The computers were so slow that they were saying, this is not any faster. It's better to do by hand than to do. But once they had the upgraded laptops, it was much easier to access the web-based program.
So there were no school-wide reforms or professional development that we could have used that 257 for more than, for example?
Well, we did inclusion training. With the supplant money, we did the American reading. Yes, we did a reading.
Well, that
we
was
did writing.
Yeah.
That was school-wide. And now when it comes to, though, the supplement, you really can't use it for school-wide reform because you can only spend it on special education. So in order to do school-wide reform, you need general education funds as well. So that's where all of the supplanted money went more towards the school-wide reform as an RTI training. And I think that we did a lot of training for the teachers. And like I said last time, they need time to digest it. They need time to implement it so we can know its success. So, I mean, we covered reading, writing, everyday math, inclusion, RTI, social skills. I think that was a lot to throw people at a short amount of time.
Right, to digest in 2 years, Kevin, we can only throw so much at our teachers. And, you know, getting their input, some of it was they would like to use, not particularly assistive technologies, but what it really would assist them in the learning for the child and not use technology for the end product, but really the tool that it is.
I just have to tell you, I was in a lot of these meetings, including the parent feedback meeting where feedback was solicited. I was in the iPad demonstration to the CI committee, and I didn't see coming out of those committees a recommendation to spend that much money on technology. What I've seen and heard and communicated was that we were looking for more professional development in the context of school-wide reforms. I do think we could have absorbed a lot more professional development in 2 years than $50,000.
And the ones that we did that were school-wide, we utilized through that supplant idea. And that was that response to intervention, the inclusion, the American Reader, were areas that we knew.
American Reader is the 2 grades, it's not school-wide reform.
We have to start somewhere. And that's where, from the input of our administrators, we started.
Okay, I disagree with how you approach the spending, and I don't feel that you really listened to the feedback of the community and the CIEC committee, and to a degree the teacher, and how this money was spent.
And Kevin, respectfully, I'll go back. The sitting board that approved this plan did so in 2009,
The plan is just a dollar amount. The plan doesn't have any of the detail in the spending.
Yes, it did. The plan did. That's
why
I was getting confused when people were saying that there was a breakdown in the process. The plan was presented and the board approved it that had specifically professional development. This is what we plan on doing. This amount is supplanted, and this is what we plan on doing with the supplanted amount. This is what we plan on doing with the sound fields. This is what we plan on doing. We didn't know it was going to be called IEP Direct, but that we were going to purchase an IEP web-based program.
Right.
That
we
were going to...
Line by line, like American Reading came up on the agenda that night. That was it. And they said, okay,
no, not
it
that
is.
Night. Actually, I believe in supplant there were two other professional developments that weren't available.
Correct.
No, it came up that night in the board meeting. It was $58,000 out of the IDEA and then money out of Title I. And it went to a board vote and it was 7-2 and it passed. And that's how that money went through.
But professional development was part of the supplant that was originally approved by the Board of Education.
The 144, but not the specific line item spending. That came in front of the board, I believe, almost without exception, the night it was, the meeting was put on the agenda.
I believe it was part of one of the amendments. Am I correct, Ms. Lenhart?
Also, Mr. Sardis, we do need to remind everyone that in April, you asked me for, I gave you a spreadsheet that, holy mackerel, there was nothing, you saw it all.
Right, it was already spent, Pat. That was a spreadsheet dictating how it was spent. That's where I got my figures from on how we spent 200 of the 255,000 on technology from your spreadsheet.
That information would have been available to anyone who asked for it, the same way it was given to you immediately upon request.
Understood. The money's gone. I'm telling you, I disagree with how the district interpreted the guidance. I think more should have been spent on professional development. And of the 255 that we did not supplant, we spent 200,000 on technology. I don't think that was the best use of the funds.
Are you including FM systems as technology?
Yes.
To get to that
sound
figure?
Fields. Sound fields, the IP Direct program, and the laptops that went with the IP Direct.
Because of that 200 figure that you're using, 61,000 was FM systems. I think when people think technology, they think laptop. The FM systems.
I'm happy to split that out. Mary included that in the technology during my hour presentation, so I'm being consistent.
And the board asked for Mrs. McLaughlin to come back up and present on this proposal. There has been some revisions to that, which Mrs. McLaughlin explained, and now it's before the board and will be under finance and facilities. Are there any other questions?
Yeah, I have a quick one. A few years back, we had an issue with a lot of students being classified in the fourth and fifth grade. And it was thought that perhaps there might be a problem in the younger grades where the reading and the writing programs were letting people slip through the cracks. And it was my understanding that the writing and the reading programs, even though they weren't directly special ed funds, were to try to prevent some kids from becoming classified later on.
Absolutely. And the RTI to try to target those students before they would even go to INRS.
Right.
Which
have
is
we
intervention
seen any
and referral.
Success with that? Do we see? I mean, I know it's very short time span to really see results, but are we seeing any less kids becoming being
the
classified?
Bubble has decreased. It is still there.
Okay.
But yes, it is improving.
Okay.
Mary, thank you for your presentation.
Excuse me, Jim. I'm sorry. One question.
Okay, go ahead, Michelle.
Mary, how many students did you say were involved in the resource room and the self-contained room?
It depends on which one. In the middle school, we have the largest amount of students, so one of the teachers has 26 students flow throughout the day.
Okay.
Also not at once?
No.
No. There's a maximum of 9 students could be in a resource room class.
I guess what I'm looking at is we have 77 iPads on here, and what is going to be the utilization of them? Are they going to be 80% utilized or 20% utilized, depending on upon how many people go into and out of these rooms?
Well, every period the teacher is teaching, there are students in her room. So when she's not teaching, when she has her double planning period in the middle school, they wouldn't be utilized. But during every other period, they would be, just like any other resource. Every single day, maybe not. But so they're a resource for the students.
So at 26 students going through per day, we're talking 6 or 8 at a time?
Approximately.
Approximately. So if we're dividing up that many iPads, let's round it up to 80 just to make the math easy, 20 in each school, I'm seeing that there's going to be a lot more availability of the iPads than there would be students there using them.
No, because each teacher was going to get 9 per class. So if she has 8 students in her class at any given time, they would be all utilized, all but one maybe.
Well, you would hope that the teacher gets to use one.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
Model.
And in the autism classes,
there's more than one classroom. When you're saying this one teacher had 26 students going in and out throughout the day.
Correct. Which is just one resource room that we have here.
And there's 4 here. There's 2 self-contained and 2 resource rooms here at the middle school. There's 2 resource rooms and 1 self-contained at Round Valley. There's 1 self-contained at Patrick McGarren, and there's 1, but it has 12 students, 2 teachers, so it's almost like 2 programs at Spruce Run. And we're actually having a half-day resource room for kindergarten and first grade also that would utilize the iPads. That's another new program. And like I said earlier, the teacher assistants, one of the autism teachers brought to our attention that it would be most beneficial to have iPads accessible for the teacher assistants that work one-to-one with the students with autism for the data collection, instead of just gridding it and putting it in a binder where when the child moves up to Round Valley, they have like 6 binders of the skills that they worked on and mastered and generalized. That it would all just be, it's very easy to take on the iPad and to track the student through their years here at Clinton Township.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, I just have one quick question.
Yes.
I know you said this already, so I apologize. How many FM systems did we purchase through this?
38.
And how many students do we have that need that system?
Oh, off the top of my head, I do not have that exact number, because we have many students that are classified OHI or SLD that in their reports from the doctor say that they have auditory processing problems. So I don't have an exact tally on that. We also have students, one came back into district last year who was at a specialized school for deaf children, and another one who was possibly going to go out. And then we have four that are hearing impaired, and then we have a lot of 504 students that have hearing aids, cochlear implants, and then lots of students with auditory processing problems.
Mary, thank you very much.
I have a question. Sorry.
Last question.
No, that's okay. Page 5, the middle screen, regarding assistive technology.
Yes.
Can you explain that? You say that there's $7,000 in assistive technology leveraged against a potential out-of-district bill of $70,000. And when you say per 3 years, is it $70,000 a year for 3 years?
Yes.
Total of 210?
And I just based it off of the grade that the student was in, that they would be with us for 3 years. The student required an extensive amount of technology in order to remain in district in the least restrictive environment, and is doing successfully well, very well.
So is what the screen is saying that we invested $7,000 into the one student and were able to keep that particular student in district?
Yes.
And as opposed to that person having to go out of district for placement out of district?
Yes.
Would we have been able to do that without this money?
I would have done it without the money, yes. This was an opportunity. I highlighted it as this was an opportunity of the ARRA funds, that I didn't have to go to general funds to have the money to keep the child in district. But would I have? Yes, I would have shifted things around and made sure that the child stayed in district. But ARRA gave us the opportunity, and that's what I thought that we were looking for, the opportunity to create a program, and for this student it was very individualized based on technology necessary to remain in access education in the least restrictive environment.
And then we wouldn't have had to spend, and then that money was able to stay in the general fund.
Yes.
To fund other,
yes,
other programs.
Yes.
Building in capacity for in-district programs is one of the areas of guidance that was recommended for funds to be spent. So we do have significant out-of-district placements. I don't know if we could have moved any in-district if we had invested any of the money there, but we didn't. That was one of the 14 areas of guidance of where it was recommended that you look to use the funds to build that capacity to avoid out-of-district placement.
And this is an example where it was done. Even though it was only $7,000, it would have been something that we would, if we did not make those investments with our money or general funds, that child would legally have a right to be serviced outside of our school district.
And last year we had another student come back that required the sound fields. Without the ability to have the sound fields, that student might not have come back to district. And we also hired a specialized teacher, but that did not come out of our funds.
So when that child came back because of the sound fields, how much did we save there in out-of-district placement?
I believe that tuition was in the 50s.
That tuition was about 50,000, yeah, plus transportation.
But were they coming back anyway? And that technology was there, which was a good thing?
Well, I would have had to have bought those sound towers, because they were more affordable, which means that the student would have to carry it from class to class when they're in the sixth grade through eighth grade.
So the towers were more affordable than the FM systems we bought?
Correct.
Yes, but they're individualized.
Correct. This way, it's twofold. Not only do we allow a child to come back seamlessly without making a big thing, oh, you're the child with the sound tower everywhere. Most children who, in given time in their career, suffer from a form of auditory processing, you know, in the case of the Hans, if you've been in a classroom with this system in place, it's amazing what the children get to benefit from. And the teachers who utilize it to have the children utilize the microphone so they do presentations, or when they're just discussing, everyone has a chance to hear one another. I mean, just look around tonight what we've done to make sure we're heard. I think it's a win-win. Without causing undue attention to one child, we have an investment that serves all children.
I can bring one thing to the table as well. When you think about how many sound fields need to be purchased, when we have students with what we call boots that have hearing aids that have to interface directly with our sound fields, so that means that with the boots, they actually plug in their sending device into the back of our control unit, and everything that's said by every student who has either the pass mic or the teacher mic, that includes our in-class support teacher, because now you have to remember that we have sometimes two professionals in the classroom to support the environment, so that they need to hear both teachers. So there was two microphones that need to be purchased, plus a pass mic that goes with the student. Now, when that student with the boots has to travel to a unified arts classroom, you're seeing additional purchases so that they can have that same environment, that's the least restrictive environment, in every classroom that they travel to, okay? So when you also think about a sixth grade team, it's not one classroom we had to outfit, it was actually four classrooms. When you look at Round Valley, where we have students, two students from my count, that have the boots, we needed to outfit the four unified arts classrooms as well. Not only that, it's a benefit to, as Mr. Kyle had said to the others, if you know anything about environmental noises and even the air conditioning we have in here, there is a justifiable and actually scientifically researched differential that has to happen from environmental noises into what has to be the speech of the teacher in order for there to be good hearing to happen for the students, so they can have good cognizant and understanding of what's going on, right? And if you've been in any of our classrooms, you'll see that they're in the corner, there's blowers. We open up the windows because not every room is air conditioned in the summer. And these are smart enough that they actually filter out environmental noises. So if a lawnmower is going by and it senses that, or the blower is constantly going, it takes those sounds and puts them into the background while it amplifies the good sound. So when we think about what's going on, it's actually not just impacting the special education students in the classroom, it's impacting the general ed students. But when you think about the count of 38, yes, we had 9 that were purchased in September for IEP students. The rest were purchased to fill around those environments that were necessary, right? As we talked about the unified arts classrooms and some of the other places that those students would travel to during the day, as in sixth grade where they're moving from room to room. When this building was built, we'll tell you the importance of it. They were placed in every one of the rooms.
What's his name?
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mary or for Paul? Mary, thank you for taking the time and doing the presentation again this month. Thank you very much. Paul, thank you for your explanation.
And Mr. Dinkoff, I have one action item to be moved under my report. Action item 11-SU-005.
Okay. Michelle, you want to, as head of the personnel committee, take that for us, please?
Sure. Action item 11-SU-005, be it resolved that the Board of Education hereby accepts Kevin Carroll's letter requesting non-renewal of his contract.
We have a second on that resolution?
Second.
Second by Donna. Any discussion by the board? Seeing none, I would like to introduce, I don't know if any board members have not had an opportunity to meet our board attorney, Vito Gagliardi, who is here with us tonight and will be with us in executive session. I wanted Vito to take a minute or two just to explain this resolution, exactly what it means, and then to indicate to Mrs. Lenhart how it will be followed through, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Under the superintendent's existing contract and consistent with state law, action is required by this board prior to June 30 with regard to the status of the contract and its potential for renewal. With the request made by Mr. Carroll this evening, should the board vote to accept his letter, it would moot your requirement to make any decisions underneath that contract, and I would advise and have advised the board secretary that she should send written confirmation to Mr. Carroll for him to receive by June 30, Thursday, confirming the action of the board this evening, and that as a result of his request being accepted by the board, that his employment as superintendent of schools would be scheduled to end on June 30, 2012.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for Mr. Gagliardi or concerning the resolution?
Just a minor point.
Go ahead,
point.
Michelle.
We have two action items, SU005, on here. Should this action item be 006? Like I said,
top
minor
just
point.
Tells you that it's, this is on each one of the committee meetings. It's a format that I brought to the board so that the chair can look up underneath that and say, oh, what do we have coming up? It will be a list of action items. It's not two different ones. That's my regular report there. What it says under my report, that action item 005 just says coming up will be an action item. That's all. Just a heads up to the board.
Okay, thank you.
Since there's no discussion, if we could have a roll call vote to accept 005.
Ms. Cresti?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Yes.
Ms. Helfig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
Mr. Dinkov?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Report of the school business administrator.
First piece of correspondence has to do with that the PTA fronted us some money for some pay to participate shortfalls. We were able to pay that back by the due date, which was June 1st. A letter thanking Mr. Dinkoff for his service to the Hunterdon County Federated Republican Women. We are still working with New Jersey Historic Trust regarding easement of the Voight House. On tonight's agenda is approving the approval of our professional development. There is a petition regarding some community members' wishes regarding the land across the street from the middle school. We have a letter from Senator Daugherty, a letter from Morris Union Jointure, and the letter from Superintendent Kevin Carroll. And our next board meeting is July 25th.
Thank you. Any questions for Pat on the Business Administrator Board Secretary's report?